Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. God is good, and all the time. Psalm 100 verse 5, For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth how long? To all generations. Now, error will end one day. Thank God for that. But truth will endure to all generations. Good evening, everyone. It's very nice to see you. It always is. And this good evening greeting is also for those who are connecting to us via the internet. We're grateful to God for modern technology that allows people all over the world to listen right now as you and I are participating in this service. So we welcome them and we welcome you. I hope you had a pleasant day. Did you? Did you thank God? You know, some friends of mine were traveling from Bulawayo to Harare. That's in Zimbabwe. It's about 6 hours driving. So when they arrived, one of them sent me a text and said, we have arrived. And I said, did you thank God? Did you sing one stanza of To God Be the Glory? Safety in travel is not guaranteed. And so whenever God has brought you from home to work, work to home, thank him. Make it a habit to thank God. I told some friends of mine, we were in the Philippines ministering 3 weeks ago. When we want things from God, we ask him over and over and over, Lord, please give me tuition. Please give me a job. And we pray and we pray and we beg and we plead. When we get it, we thank him once, possibly twice, and then we forget it. But we must learn, we must develop the habit of overwhelming God with our thanks until we receive the conviction from God that says, that's enough thanks. The same way he told the Israelites, stop bringing. So let us thank God over and over until he tells us by audible voice or internal conviction, you have thanked me enough. Can you say amen? And so thank God you had a pleasant day. Even if it was rough, your presence in this building is proof that God brought you through. Because today, all over the world, people died. If I'm right, say amen. They died in Maryland. They'll be buried in a few days. We are alive and we acknowledge God. Somebody say amen for God. Acknowledge God. Can you see me? Thank God. When I travel, another habit I'm trying to develop, pray for people, everybody. You know, when you board a plane, people on wheelchairs board ahead of you. Pray for them. They'd much prefer to board last, but on their own power. Are you following me? Someone blind, pray for him. An old lady leaving the supermarket, pray for her that some wild young man doesn't snatch her social security check. Let's pray for people. The colleague on the job in the next booth or whatever you call the cubicle, pray for her, pray for him. When we do that, our minds will always be above. not be. So Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. God bless you for coming. I'm delighted to see you, and I believe God will bless us through His Word. Our subject for this evening, the love of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for life. I thank you, God, that I'm alive to feel the cold weather. I thank you, Lord, I'm alive to see your sons and your daughters. I thank you, dear God, I'm not in a mental institution, but be with those who are. I thank you, dear God, I'm not in prison, be with those who are there. Dear God, I thank you for the invitation you sent me to come to this church. And I ask you in the name of Jesus, in the presence of heaven and earth, grant me the help that I need because I need it. As an act of mercy, Father, possess my mind. I give you permission. Possess my mind. Let my voice be your voice. Let my words be your words, even as the words of Christ were your words. Let it be so with you and me. Father in heaven, I lay all self on the ground, humbling myself before you, seeking only your glory. Bless this service, dear God. Bless those listening via the internet. Speak to everyone by this one sermon, touch every listening heart. And Father, when the meeting is over, let us know we have heard from you, not me. Bless this country. Bless the leadership, Father. Bless every country represented by those in this audience and via the internet, I pray. Save us all when you come, God. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Let's go to John 14, the passage I read or recited at the beginning. John 14, we shall read microscopically, closely, paying attention, shutting out all distractions. The devil is a master of distraction. And he may need to distract you only for 5 seconds for you to miss something God has given me for you. Do you have John 14? Reading from verse 1. Read with me if you have the King James Version. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, carefully, verse 7. Read it for me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Stop. Let's reword that and do while doing no damage to the message. Anyone who knows Christ, finish my words, knows God. That's a law. It's a principle by which the divine personalities work. Anyone who knows Christ knows God. Which makes it a mystery, and I have suffered from this calamity or this malady, this illness. We view God as bloodthirsty and Jesus Christ as loving. Let me say it again, on the authority of God's word, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Let's go to verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Finish that verse. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Stop. Now, the Bible says no man hath seen God. So clearly, Christ is speaking spiritually. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How I behave is how the Father behaves. How I handle various situations is how the Father would have handled them if he were on the earth personally. This is not symbolic language. This is literal. No wonder Jesus said, the Father and I and my Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Take God's word as it reads. Simple and powerful. Go to John 15. We'll read verse 23. Our subject, the love of God. John 15, verse 23. When you found that, say amen. Read that for me. What does it say? He that hateth me, come on, hateth my Father also. Read verse 25 of John 15, nice and clear and loud. Are you ready? Read for me. This cometh to pass, that the word might be that is written in their law. Now carefully, they hated me, come on, without a cause. Jesus says, they have no good reason to hate me. Extend that to me. Extend that another level. They have no good reason to hate the Father. You're hesitating, and it's okay. They hated me, says Jesus, without a cause. Which means, the people who hate Christ without a cause, they hate God without a cause. Because as with Jesus, so it is with the Father, even though they are two separate personalities. If you hate me, says Christ, you hate God. Which means, if you hate me, come on, you hate God. Now, this union between Father and Son is reflected in the union between Son and believer. Go to Acts 9, we'll read from verse 1. Our subject, the love of God. Acts chapter 9, reading from verse 1. Acts is book number 5 of the New Testament, written by Luke. When you found that, say amen. Read with me if you don't mind. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Meaning, the men and women being those who had accepted Christ. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, what? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now here we have the identical relationship between the Father and the Son expressed in the relationship between the Son and the believer. Jesus says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Those who were persecuting the church hated the church. He that hates the church hates Christ. And so Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? Now, we won't go through the whole chapter. Jesus said to him what? Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I will speak to you through some people. Whatever they tell you will be my words. As verily as the words of Christ were the words of God, the words of the church must be the words of Christ. Now, I wanted to establish this relationship. What happens to the Son happens to the Father. What happens to the church happens to Christ. Go to John 13. Let's see both expressed in one verse. John 13, reading verse 20, our subject, the love of God. I've said it before, I'll say it again. John is a beautiful book. No other book expresses the relationship between Father and Son the way John does. John 13, verse 20, read with me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, come on, receiveth me. Stop. Here is the relationship between the believer and Christ. If you receive a believer, you have received Christ. Now, finish the verse. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So we have both in one verse. Actually, there's a chain of connection. Here's the believer, here's Christ, here's the Father. To bless a believer is to bless Jesus. To bless Jesus is to bless the Father. But I want to go back to John 15:23. Read that for me. What does it say? He that hateth me hateth my Father also. What do we do to people we hate? Well, I want you to speak for the world because it doesn't apply to you. All right. What do we do to people we hate? We hurt them. Whether physically, emotionally, psychologically, we try to hurt them. Listen again. He that hateth me hateth my Father. Question for you. Did they try to hurt Jesus? Did they succeed? Don't hesitate. Did they succeed? Tell me what I'm about to say. They hurt the Father. Now, keep this in mind. Anything that happens to Christ, the Father feels. Any persecution the church experiences, the Son feels. As a matter of fact, not just persecution. Let's say a relative dies and you're brokenhearted. Christ feels it because he's still human. Are you listening to me? If you lose your job, you're broke. Christ feels right now what we feel. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Christ still feels what we feel. Keeping this in mind, let's recite John 3:16. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm asking you again, Father, possess my mind, my mouth, my tongue. Help me to speak carefully, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How did the Father demonstrate his love? He gave his Son to do what? To die. Go to John 15. John 15, let's read from verse 12. We read 13 as well. Are you there? Let's read together. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Here again we have, as the believer, so Christ. Love one another the way I love you. All right. Keep reading. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this. Finish the verse. That a man lay down his life for his friends. Question for you. What's the greatest expression of love you can show? To die for somebody. Because what's your most precious possession? Your life. When Esau came from the field and he was faint, he was hungry, he gave up the birthright and all the spiritual blessings to save his life. People leave God to save their lives for a short time. We do anything necessary. The devil told God, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. That's why until you and I value our lives less than our love for God, the devil has us. I said that clumsily, let me say it again. As long as we're afraid to die for God, the devil has us. The greatest expression of love is to lay down your life for someone else. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Keep this in mind. Read John 3:16 again. Nice and loud. I'm listening. For God so loved the world that he gave his life. What did he give? somebody else's life. Well, is that the greatest expression of love? We have to fix that problem. Jesus himself said, and Christ can say it because he came to lay down his life. There is no higher expression of love, says Christ, than to lay down your life for someone else. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. So we may argue, without further information, that the Father did not demonstrate the highest degree of love. But we know that's not true, so we have to solve this problem. Let's go back to yesterday. How did he do that? Who said, let there be light? Jesus. For whom? Don't hesitate. For whom? God the Father, yes. Christ is an agent of the Father. In other words, the Father created through Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 3:9. Who created all things through Jesus Christ. Also, Hebrews 1:2-9, chapter 1, verse 2. It says the same thing. The Father willed it, and the Son did it. At the wish and the pleasure of the Father. You take that physical creation, you apply it spiritually, it is the Father who saves us. How? Come on, how? Through Christ. I am not removing Christ as a Savior. Do not misunderstand me. He is. But understand, Christ said over and over, the Father sent me. The Father sent me. The Father sent me. The Father sent him to do what? To die for us. Of course, he came willingly. What did Jesus say in John 17? Let's read from verse 1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Let's skip to verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. Finish verse 4. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What was that work? The work of salvation. Listen to God's word microscopically. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Go to John 5. Read verse 36. John 5:36. Read for me. What does that say? I have greater works than that of John. Keep reading. For the works which the Father hath given me to do, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus said, everything I do, the Father sent me to do. Including die on that cross. If I'm not reading from the Bible, let me know. Now, keeping this in mind, let's remember the first principle we extracted from the Bible. What happens to the Son, come on, happens to the Father. When the church was persecuted, Jesus said, you're persecuting me. Now let's go to Matthew 26. The love of God. Matthew 26. It is 8:30 on the dot. You'll be out before 9. Hopefully, comfortably before 9. I know you have classes tomorrow and jobs to go to. But giving time to God is never a loss. God will make it up for you tomorrow. Remember, God is the God who gives you 6 days and will allow you to do everything you need to do in 6, even though the world takes 7. God is a God who will allow you to cover all your expenses with $90, and he takes 10, even though the world takes all 100. Are you with me? God is that kind of God. Okay. What book did I say? What chapter? 26. What verse? 38. When you found that, say amen. Read with me. What does it say? He saith unto them, what? My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Come on. even unto death. No, that's fine. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Okay. Listen now as I say the words. My soul am suffering up to the point of death. He said that while he was alive. I'm about to tell you something that may make you a little dizzy, but fine. Because what I'll tell you is what only Christ has ever experienced on the earth. Christ experienced death while he was still alive. Read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Our subject, the love of God. I want to demonstrate how much the Father loves you and me. Hebrews 2, verse 9. Then we'll come back to Matthew and possibly go to Luke. Hebrews 2, verse 9. When you found it, say amen. Find those books quickly. Time is moving. When you found it, read with me. What does it say? But we see Jesus, who was made how? A little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That he, come on, by the grace of God, go on, should taste death for every man. It was the Father's will, here again, that he should taste death. Not just die. Taste death. To taste something is to experience something. The Bible says the dead know nothing. In order to taste death, you must be alive to taste it. Listen to me carefully. Jesus tasted death while he was alive. No other human being has ever gone through that. Listen to this statement from Ellen White. The faith I live by, page 102, paragraph 4. Let me give that again. The faith I live by. Page 102, paragraph 4. Justice demanded the sufferings of a man. Christ rendered the sufferings of a God. I'll say it again, differently. You know, God is a proportional God. In other words, we're punished according to our sins. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according. God is according. If you sin this much, God doesn't punish you this much. Are you with me? Now, he blesses us beyond proportions. But he punishes us only so much. Now, justice says, a man sinned, a man must suffer. That's justice. Ellen White writes, justice demanded the sufferings of a man. Christ rendered the sufferings of a God. At whose request? The Father. Now, when Christ was suffering, bleeding through his skin, praying three times to the Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. He did not pray that prayer on the cross. He prayed it in the garden because that's where he tasted death. When he was going through that, what was happening to the Father? He was experiencing the same thing. The Desire of Ages, page 694, paragraph 2. 693, paragraph 2. God suffered with his Son. Did he suffer less? No. What Christ experienced, the Father experienced. In that way, the Father, through Christ, gives his life. It's a mystery we'll study for all eternity. The greatest expression is love is the giving of your life. The Father found a way to give his life through Christ. And as Christ suffered, tasting death, the Father suffered with him. And the servant of the Lord says, God suffered with his Son. Let's keep our eyes on the Father, how much he loves us. Did Christ physically die? Yes. The Father didn't die physically. But when Christ died, did he feel the pain anymore? Come on, answer me. No. But the father didn't die. What does that tell you? While the suffering of the son ended for a while, the father's suffering continued. What's our subject? The love of God. The son was in the grave. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. He gave up the ghost. The father didn't give up the ghost. He tasted death with the son, but he didn't give up the ghost because divinity can't die. And he continued to suffer. Now let's read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave himself through his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, you know, the Bible mentions the gospel as the gospel of Christ and the gospel of God. That's mentioned a few times in 2 Thessalonians. The gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. Christ is our Savior. God is our Savior. God sent Christ to die for us. And since God himself gave the definition of love, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God can't give one definition and behave somewhere else. He gave his life through Christ. It's a mystery which we will explore forever, but we are biblically accurate when we say, through Christ, God gave himself. It just blows my mind that justice demanded the sufferings of a man. God went all overboard so that the devil can have no complaints. No one can say, well, enough has not been done. Justice says, I just need a man to suffer because a man sinned. God said, no, a God will suffer to cover the sins of a man. And so you go to the supermarket, you buy a loaf of bread, it's $4, you give $4,000. The love of God. My brothers and sisters, God loves you in a way you and I will never understand. But we should try. Because the Bible says, we love him. Come on. Because he first loved us. When we reflect on the love of God, it generates in us love. It breaks the heart. It softens the opposition. It breaks down the Jericho walls of stubbornness that surrounds so many hearts. So many of us, we love our sins. We won't give them up. I'm comfortable in my skin with my sin. And the Father suffers up to now with the Son. Why? Because God loves you. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, just listen. The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God, come on, is love. That's all he is. That's all God is, love. But a God of love hates. God hates one thing, tell me, sin. Because sin caused his son and himself to suffer. Sin threatened the entire universe. And I'll deal with that if the Lord directs me. Tonight, I offer you the Father as the one who sent Jesus. Christ came willingly. Ellen White, I don't remember where. Ellen White writes, when Jesus, he went to the Father and said, it's time for me to come, something like that. The Father said, no. He said, no. Don't go. Because the Father loved him so much. You know, parents can't part with their children. All parents want their children to attend college in their backyard. Are you following me? They don't want them to leave. Okay. The father couldn't part with his son. Jesus went for permission. The father said no. Otherwise said he went a second time. The father said no. The third time he went, he emerged from the father's light. And the angels read his face and realized the father said yes. The father didn't say no because he didn't love us. But the father had to struggle with giving up his son. He endured the struggle, then he sent him. Why? Because he loves you. Ellen White said, Christ ask for permission to die for us. The Father gave him permission to die for us. And as I said yesterday, let me say it again, I am not minimizing Christ. Mm-mm. That's a crime against heaven. Christ is God in his full divinity. I am trying to elevate the Father. The Father gave Christ permission to come and die. The Father loves you. Right where you sit. You're sitting next to your husband or your wife, that person cannot love you the way God loves you. The love of God. My brothers and sisters, if God loves us so much, he suffered with his Son. Desire of Ages 393, paragraph 2. He experienced what the Son experienced in Gethsemane on that cross. Having to turn away from the Son added to his misery. It's not the Son that turned away from the Father. The Father had to turn away from his Son. Years ago, when I was a boy, I had to go to get an injection for something, a vaccination. And my mother took me, I was small. So I sat there on the counter and the nurse stuck me trying to find a vein and couldn't find it. And she stuck me and I, you know, children, and my mother started to cry. Now, I didn't cry, but she cried. Why? Because her Son was being stuck like a pig. Couldn't find a vein. Apply that to God. Parents feel the pain of their children more than the children feel it. And so I offer you God and the Son, but I'm trying to put the spotlight on the Father, a spotlight he does not enjoy. That's why I said yesterday, you call 10 little children to pray, they all pray to Jesus. And that's fine, they all pray to Jesus, which is okay for children, because he was a child himself. But could it be that we teach them to pray to Jesus because we undervalue the love of the Father? Tonight, recommit your life to God. Thank him for sending Jesus. Thank him for giving Jesus permission to come and die. Thank him for feeling what Jesus felt. Desire of Ages, page 693, paragraph 2. Thank him for suffering with his Son. And thank him for suffering even after the Son was dead. And his suffering ended, the Father's continued as he turned from his Son. Will a God like that forgive your sins when you confess? Yes. He went through so much trouble to make forgiveness available. Yes, God will forgive anything. And I mean anything. He proved it by his sacrifice. How many of you will say with me tonight, Father, thank you for your love. Forgive me for not appreciating your love. Thank you for your love. And God, I recommit my life to you. How many will do that or say that? Can I see your right hand? Thank you for, stand up with me. Thank you for that love. Think about it as you leave. There's a God looking down and his heart is overflowing, brimful of love for you. Thank him that the Son came willingly, not forced. He sought permission. The Father gave him permission. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, if I have said anything I shouldn't have said, I said it the wrong way, forgive me. Take my words, Father, weak as they were. Father, imbue them with your Spirit and fill the hearts of your people with these words, because your words are words of life. As Jesus said in John 12:49, his commandment is life everlasting. And Jesus said in John 6:63, your words are spirit and they are life. Let this living word, Father, dwell in us tonight. Let us meditate on what we've heard about the love of God, the love of the Father. Thank you, dear God, for loving us so much. As we meditate on this love, dear God, let it produce in us greater love for you and love for our fellow man. As we go, Send angels to go with us, God, because the devil hates us and desires to destroy us. As Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his desire for us. Defend us against him. Protect us, Father. Let angels stand by our bedside. Look down on us smilingly as we sleep tonight. Patrolling the outside of our homes. Patrolling the inside. Preserving your people. Wake us up in the morning, Father. Let our first thought be glory to God. Bring us back tomorrow to hear your word one more time. Until then, may we rest in the certainty and the comfort of your love. I offer this prayer from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.